Got to go down to
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Deadline for Major League Baseball has come and gone. Winners, losers, plenty of columns, opinions out there. But what did the market do based off of the moves? We'll get that answer here in just a moment. But Matt, our game of the night, Wrigley Field, Cubs and Dodgers, and it will be Justin Robleski getting the start for the Dodgers. Dodgers, a slight road favorite, and you've got a little nugget on the All-Star.
Yeah, I think we like the Cubs as home dogs tonight, but got to keep this in mind if you're going to bet against the Dodgers. Justin Robleski on the road this season, 10 starts, 7-1 with a 2.85 ERA. He's got really good numbers on the road, and one start against the Cubs this season. He went 6 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 6 strikeouts, one of his better starts for the Dodgers. So that is worthy of our game of the night status.
And what type of movement did we see in the market after those Los Angeles Dodgers, who are about to get underway, traded for Tarek Skubal? Well, fortunately, we could find out the answer right now.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook, joins us every Monday. And, you know, I thought we were just going to talk football. It's that time of year, but, you know, we got a lot of baseball to hit on here. So we'll start with a little baseball. The big move, there were plenty of them, but the big move, of course, Skubal goes to the Dodgers. They were already the betting favorite. How much movement, Johnny, did you make at DraftKings based off of this trade?
Well, you know, Timmy, when we go back to when the season started, the Dodgers were plus 375. That didn't last long. They kept eating away at that, down to $3.25, $3. Just before the trade, we had them plus $1.90. We did have them the favorite to get Skubal. I really didn't think he was going to go there. I thought there were other clubs that maybe suited him better. Now, when I say better, the Dodgers are loaded. I mean, you look at their pitching staff. They look like they can throw an all-star out there every night now. But now we're sitting at the Dodgers plus 150, which is about as low a price that I have ever seen with, you know, a couple of months left to go in the regular season. So, like I said, Dodgers have all the pieces they need. Doesn't always work out that way for them, but they deserve to be this type of favorite. I mean, I don't know. This is kind of low for me, but they do deserve to be certainly overwhelming favorite.
Well, Johnny, I was going to ask you that because I can't recall ever seeing, with 2 months ago in a baseball season, a shorter favorite than plus 150 to win the World Series. And you kind of answered that question there. But the next question for bettors would be, if you don't like the Dodgers, if you're trying to beat the favorite here, who are you going to play? Have you seen much action on the futures board on other teams, maybe like the Red Sox recently?
Well, the Red Sox also made a good acquisition, so their odds dropped 2 to 14 to 1. When you look at the odds, the National League has 3 of the top 4 spots, and that's the Dodgers. Then the Yankees are second at plus $6, 6 to 1. Then the Brewers are 9 to 1, and the Braves are 10 to 1. Even though the Dodgers have that small price, the other teams that follow them are just having great years also, and so therefore the third and fourth choice. We've taken money on the Cubs. They improved a little bit. Phillies kind of stayed kind of even at 18 to 1. And the Astros have been taking some money lately, but it's not because of any trades. It's just because they've been playing better baseball as of late.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook, joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line. You know, Johnny, with the Dodgers having their odds so short all year long, where are you guys from a liability standpoint with the Dodgers?
We've taken money on the Dodgers, but when a team is that low, we're not going to get hurt. Even though we're not probably in the greatest shape right now, by the time the season ends, there's going to be more money in the pot, and the Dodgers will end up being okay for us. Not going to be, a great future book for us if they win the whole thing. But since we've made the adjustments that we've needed to make, whether they've gotten a new player or just overall the hype on them since the beginning of the year. We've made the adjustments we need to make. And like I said, there's money coming in on other teams. The Red Sox with this streak, they've certainly drawn money. They're in the streak. The Brewers, who have just played well all season long. The Rays took some money when they were, in the lead in the East and, looked like they maybe had a team that no one expected. Cubs always taking money. Phillies always taking money. So, and there's other teams below them, too. I mean, you can't count teams out like the Mariners, the Rangers. I already mentioned the Astros. And then, maybe the Guardians, maybe even the Diamondbacks. Who knows? Maybe the Diamondbacks have some run left in them for the rest of the year. Maybe they make a wild card spot, and who knows? I just don't hand over the trophy to a team, because if you look at last year when the Dodgers won it, it was not easy. Toronto could have won that World Series, a couple of times. And I think the Dodgers were very fortunate to win it. Now, this year, they've got the team to do it, but you have to win the games. And, sometimes the hitters aren't hitting at that time. Your pitching staff's not pitching as well. We'll see where we're at when we get to October.
You're right about that. Blue Jays had a 3-0 lead in Game 7 of the World Series. Bo Bichette took Ohtani deep, and they end up losing Game 7. The year before that, the Padres had the Dodgers backed against the wall in the playoffs and let them off the hook. Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook Director, with us. Johnny, how about the NFL preseason game Thursday night, Hall of Fame game, Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals? At DraftKings, you got Carolina, 1.5-point favorite, total of 36.5. Have you seen much betting action on this, or basically does all the betting action show up, the last day before kickoff on Thursday?
We haven't really seen – we've seen money on the game, but nothing to move the side. But you and I both know that preseason games probably move more than any other game during the NFL regular season, taking away injury, of course. So – the game's holding at Carolina 1.5. We're going to see movement on this game, but I don't know where it's going to be. It could swing to the Cardinals, the favorite, or the Panthers will be a bigger favorite. But there will be a move on this game, and we had just not have seen it yet.
Johnny Avello joining us, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Johnny, right now the Rams, your betting favorite, as they are at every sports book across the country, +550.
By the way. Quick update. Tommy Edman, 3-run homer. Woo. Dodgers on the board first with no outs.
I guess that Sunday Night Baseball travel is not hurting them, at least so far. But, Johnny, how much are you guys monitoring the Aaron Donald situation? Is that current price basing in the possibility of Donald's return? Would he move the market a bunch if he does make the decision to return to the Rams?
Well, I don't think he's a school bull, Timmy, so I don't think he – I don't think he's going to move the needle that much. The Rams are already +550, which, I consider to be short to start the season with. And then everybody after that is double digits. So, if that's where he ends up signing, then maybe the Rams drop to $5. But I don't see much of a move bigger than that.
Who are some of the other teams garnering off-season futures hype here at DraftKings?
Bills always grab money, new head coach, Josh Allen, if he stays healthy, the team will certainly be in the mix. So at 10-1, they like them a bit. They're going a little bit deeper down. The Eagles, 16. There's always going to be money on the Chiefs at 16 because they're very rarely this high. Also seeing some money on the Packers, 18-1. The Bengals have taken a good steady share of money at 20-1. Cowboys, always interest in them at 25-1. I think a good bet this year is maybe the Cowboys to make the playoffs. I think the Cowboys really do have enough to at least do that, and we'll see where they go from there. But there's quite a bit of talent on that Cowboy team.
All right, we're ready to talk football again. It's August. Johnny Avello with us. Johnny, I know you like to hit Saratoga. Del Mar in the summer. Sometimes, have you made your way to the racetrack yet?
Well, I was back to Saratoga for the Belmont. I will be down to Del Mar sometime around in the middle of August. And then I'm heading back east because we are sponsoring the Traverse Stakes, one of the big three-year-old races of the year. It should be a great field with all those, to take a couple horses from the Jim Dandy and some of the horses that ran in the Derby. So that could be a stellar field. So I'll be back in Saratoga for a good solid week, not only because we're promoting it, just because I love the area and I love the racing at Saratoga.
A lot of people do love to get out to Saratoga, especially Del Mar here on the West Coast. And Johnny, great to see you today, man.
Thank you much, guys. Have a good night.
There he is, DraftKings Sportsbook Director Johnny Avello. Likes the Cowboys to make the playoffs. Plus 105 right now at DraftKings.
I feel like Dave Ross paid him to say that. I kind of, you know what, there are some aspects to the Cowboys I like a lot this season, too.
I know. And
I'm kind of surprised to hear myself say that, but when I was doing a lot of preseason work on these teams, I was more positive about the Cowboys than I expected to be. I like their new defensive coordinator. I like their draft. I think they made some good moves.
Caleb Downs, you and I were sitting here on draft night saying, really, is he going to fall to the Cowboys? And sure enough, the Cowboys didn't mess that one up, took Caleb Downs with the 11th overall pick. As Matt mentioned while we were talking to Johnny Avello, the Dodgers, they get Scoobal over the weekend, Matt, and they are at Wrigley Field. Up 3-0 as Tommy Edman with a 3-run homer. Ohtani, Páez get on base. Edman brings him home with a 3-run shot. 3-0 Dodgers, top of the first inning at Wrigley Field. We'll get you updated on Cardinals, Yankees, Pirates, Brewers, Nationals, Phillies next right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
See if Pete Crow Armstrong and his plus 110 odds to win NL MVP can cut into this deficit for the Chicago Cubs. 3-0, Tommy Edman with a 3-run homer in the top of the first inning. The Chicago Cubs went off as a short home underdog, and right now the Chicago Cubs are a pretty good size home underdog at plus 260, but PCA does come through with a leadoff single. 3-0 the score on our game of the night. Matt, any interest to take the Cubs +2.5 runs?
+2.5 runs at even money?
At even money right now, yeah.
Might not be a bad play. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned this about a month ago that for all the big-name stars the Dodgers have, Tommy Edman is one of their best players, all-around players. He missed some time, obviously, early this season. But when you watch him play, he's such a solid all-around baseball. But guys like that are underrated. And baseball teams need guys like Tommy Edman, no matter how many stars you have, to win a World Series. Think about the guys, the role players who stepped up for the Dodgers last year to help him win, you know, in the playoffs.
Think about Kiki Hernandez, Rojas. Will Smith making the big plays. I mean, yeah, the list goes on and on for the big-time players. Seiya Suzuki lines one into the left field
basket.
I believe you get a free pizza if it goes in there. I want to say if it's in the basket. But just like that, it's 3-2. And now I'm saying, wish I had taken that bet, Matt. Because it's now 3-2, and that +2.5, no longer. It is now +1.5, -129 if you want the Cubs on the run line, +136 to mount the comeback. So just like that, 5 runs in the first inning, a 3-run shot from Tommy Edman, and Seiya Suzuki has made it a 1-run deficit with a 2-run shot to left field.
Yankees got a couple runners on here, one out. Bottom of the third, down 4-0. Cam Switler really struggling tonight. He's laboring. He'll be lucky to make it through 5 innings, but the Yankees trying to get a couple runs on the board to make this game more competitive. The Cardinals up 4-0, -302 at DraftKings.
Brandon Sproat in a little bit of trouble right now for the Brewers. Bases loaded, top of the third inning against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's why that live number, despite it being scoreless, is down to -136 for the Brewers. Pirates +103. As Spencer Horwitz comes up to try to give the Pirates the lead here in the top of the third inning. The Phillies and Nationals at Citizens Bank Park. That one in the top of the seventh inning. And right now, a 3-0 lead remains for the Washington Nationals as they are -1320 on the money line. The Nats are against the Philadelphia Phillies. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Jared Smith. He's got some college football on his mind. We'll also get some of his thoughts on who won, who lost the MLB trade deadline. We've got some sound as well. We will get to momentarily, Matt. But as we have mentioned, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. Matt and Paul Stone collaborated to put together a top 50. You also have some best bets. You wrote up a conference as well, right, Matt?
Pac-12.
The Pac-12.
The new look Pac-12.
Boise State is your betting favorite. Should they be, Matt?
Well, I mean, yes, Boise State should be the favorite. But is Boise going to win the conference? I don't know about that. I think Fresno State's going to get Boise a major run for the money in the Pac-12. I think San Diego State probably takes a step back this season. But Fresno is the team I really like to emerge in the Pac-12. You can get Fresno at about 5 or 6 to 1 to win the league and over 6.5 wins. I like both of those bets.
Yeah, we saw that juice move. You and I both made the same bet on Fresno State to go over their win total of 6.5 at -120. If you were aggressive early on in the offseason, there were some 5.5s out there. And Matt, when you wrote up the Pac-12, and I know a lot of people right now jumping into college football prep with our preview magazine, all the other preview magazines that are out there as well. When you broke down this conference and looked at win totals, how much did you weigh that flex game in the final spot of the season?
Well, I think you had to consider it.
And for those who don't know what I'm talking about,
some books are lining these win totals at 11, like DraftKings is putting 11. Up 11 games on the Pac-12 team's win total. Circa has 12. So you obviously have to look at that. And some of the 12th games are set, but the Pac-12 is doing a flex scheduling where they can change some of the matchups in the last week of the season if it would benefit the teams in terms of bowl status or things like that. So I kind of like the flex game, but it's confusing for some people. If you're betting win totals, if you're betting an under, you want to bet it at DraftKings.
Sure.
If betting an over, you want to look at Circa and get to 12 game line.
Yeah. There are a couple books that I know our buddy Duck, Joshua Nunn over at Action Network, I believe has it in writing from a couple of sports books. Hey, is it going to be 12? Is it going to be 11? Some books might not be as fluid. Circa's clear, 12 games. Yeah. DraftKings is clear, 11 games. So if you're looking to bet into the Pac-12, and Matt wrote up that conference for our guide, make sure, as you mentioned, look at what you want and bet accordingly based off of those plays. One more thought for me on that conference, Matt. Brad Jackson, the quarterback of Texas State, seems to be getting a lot of hype. G.J. Kinney still there as the head coach of Texas State. For those who don't know, Texas State in that new look Pac-12. Where are you on the Bobcats this year? Are they a team that could make some noise with maybe the best quarterback in that conference in Brad Jackson?
Well, it's a big step up in class. A significant step up in class for Texas State. But I do like, G.J. Kinney has led that team to there's a fly out to the warning track, and the Yankees are going to come up empty in the bottom of the third.
Hashtag Yankees update.
Yeah, that was Ben Rice. Looked like if he went deep there, we were going to have a 4-3 game, but he gets tracked down at the wall. 8-5, 8-5, 7-6 under G.J. Kinney. I think this Texas State team is going to be interesting to watch. I don't like the defense so much, but you got a quarterback, Brad Jackson, who completed 71% of his passes last season. 3,224 yards, 21 touchdowns, 7 picks. He also ran for 744 yards and 17 touchdowns. The Bobcats were 12th in the nation in scoring offense. That could be a team to look at in terms of high-scoring games, Tim, like over the totals. The defense has got some issues, but the offense should be high-powered. I think when we talk about Pac-12 football, we think offense, right? Not much defense. Texas State's a perfect fit for the Pac-12 in that regard.
And we'll get an opportunity to see Texas State front and center week one, Matt, before that big Texas-Ohio State game. Bobcats travel to Austin, and maybe we see some fireworks there. That could be a fun one. Texas State on the road at Texas week one. But Matt wrote up the Pac-12 as well as the top 50 power-rated teams in college football. And you had, I believe, Navy, were they the only G6 team in your top 50? They snuck in there at 50, I think.
Well,
I saw.
Yeah, I had Navy 50. Paul Stone had a lower rating on Navy. I had a higher rating. But to be honest, Navy and Florida State were tied for 50th spot, and I put Navy in there because I'm sick of Florida State. So Florida State's number 51 officially.
That's fine with me. I have Florida State under 6.5 win total, and that juice continued to rise. I laid $1.60 by the time I wrote it up for the guide. It was -175, but I think Mike Norvell and the Noles, things could unravel fast in the month of September.
It could fall apart for Florida State.
You know, week one, because they play week zero against New Mexico State. They play SMU Monday night, Labor Day, in Tallahassee. They lose that game. Where does the season go? Then they have to go to Tuscaloosa in week three in a revenge spot after stunning the Crimson Tide. And, you know, not making excuses for Mike Norvell. They play the top seven teams in that conference based off of the odds. They only play one team in the bottom, and that would be Boston College on the road in November. So we'll see. And also, anytime you start the season, Matt, with Ashton Daniels as your quarterback, like that's your guy, I got some questions about what you're going to be going into the year. So we'll see with the Florida State Seminoles. I don't think, Matt, I'm going to go on a limb. I don't think Paul Stone has Ashton Daniels in his top 15 quarterbacks returning in college football.
He does not. I'm looking at the list. I probably would not have him top 25. It's not like he's a...
Not him top 45.
He's not a bad quarterback, but he's not the type... That's why part of the reason my rating on Florida State was so much lower than Paul's, and I'm just not impressed by what I see in that two-deep chart, and I don't love the quarterback.
Some of the Brett Ciancia pointed out in his preview magazine, Pick Six Previews, he said last year, Florida State, who went 5-7, had a top 10 transfer portal haul. This year, like 28th, according to 247. The talent is just not coming in. Talent is leaving, and we'll see what happens this year. And you see it all the time. Coach on the hot seat, things start to unravel fast, and who knows with Florida State. But we'll talk a little ACC later on in the show. But just a reminder, we're going to talk about it all show long. The wait is over. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is here. You sign up for VSiN Pro today, you get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide featuring previews of every single FBS team. There's 138 now. Our preseason top 50 that Matt put together with Paul Stone. Power ratings, proven betting systems, best bets from VSiN hosts galore. Plus, you also get our NFL betting guide, our fantasy life fantasy football guide as well. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's deja vu all over again, Matt. Alec Burleson, solo home run to right field. St. Louis Cardinals now up 6-0. Not the night. That was not off Cam Schlittler. Schlittler only goes three innings and misspoke. It was a two-run homer. So Burleson has now four RBI tonight, two-run homers, Matt. Cam Schlittler, three innings, gives up four runs, walks five, strikes out six, on the hook for a loss tonight as the Cardinals now up 6-0. Have ourselves a pretty good one brewing at Wrigley Field. We saw a three-run homer from Tommy Edman in the top of the first, and then a response from Seiya Suzuki in the bottom of the first. 3-2 Dodgers with the lead over the Chicago Cubs as that one right now. Dodgers -198 live against the Cubs. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. Welcome in a friend of the network, Jared Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at Jared Smith Betts. You could also check out his radio program on Saturdays on Fox Sports Radio. Before we get into college football, you've got a lot of thoughts and some win totals to go over, Jared. Just overall takeaway from the deadline. Yankees, I know a lot of criticism. They didn't go out and get a catcher, didn't really get bullpen help. And of course, the big move, Skubal going to the Dodgers. So overall, what would you say your big takeaway from the deadline was?
Yeah, Tim, Matt, great to be back. I appreciate it. Rich get richer. I think at the top with the Dodgers, right? Like, I think we took a step closer to a lockout next year. I feel like the owners have all the fuel they need to continue to push the salary cap and salary floor proposal that obviously was not met with kind regards by the Players Association when that news came out. I think it was last month or recently. The Yankees, I mean, you're going to probably hear Brian Cashman at some point come out and say, well, you know, Judge and Bellinger and Stanton, like that. So those are our big additions at the trade deadline.
Yep.
We've heard that a lot. I wish that we went back as a Yankees fan. I would love to go back to older times when they would go for it. And I feel the same way about some of these lower tier mid-market teams like the Brewers and the Rays, who from all reports could have absolutely beaten the package that the Tigers got from the Dodgers for Skubal. But they just are holding on to these prospects so tightly. And my pushback to that is these are two franchises that have never won a World Series. So this strategy that you have of keeping your prospects and continuing to build through the farm system, it might look good on paper, but it has not resulted in a championship. So at what point do the owners or maybe a wild GM say, listen, we're just going to go for it and push our chips to the middle and see where they land? Because right now, is there any doubt that the Dodgers are winning the World Series? Like, I cannot see a team beating them in a 7-game series right now.
I was going to say, if there's a team in the National League that could stop the Dodgers from getting there, which team do you think is the best bet? Would it be the Phillies?
I mean, yeah, I would think in terms of pedigree, Matt, they have the most talent for sure at the top. I don't really think any of these teams in maybe the Padres, right? Like, I think that's actually, it was funny because I know Gil's done a great job with the most wins per month market. And I was looking at the Padres this month. I think I saw them at 32-1 because that's a team that has woken up since the All-Star break. Their offense looked great. And if they ever do play to that ceiling of their talent, I think that's a team that could absolutely challenge the Dodgers, but it's going to be tough. I would say Phillies or Padres maybe, but those really would be the only two.
Jared Smith joining us here at Jared Smith Bets. All right, let's get into it. We're less than 4 weeks away from the start of college football. The college football guide came out today. So you got win totals. You've been putting them out like we all have all throughout the offseason. And I want to start with a team in BYU. This is a team that, there's some people who really like this squad. Bear Bachmeyer is back. Kalani Sitake stays after flirting with your alma mater, Penn State. They've got a big one with my Irish in the middle of October. Win total sitting at 8.5. They've got a game against their bitter rival Utah, but no Texas Tech on the schedule. Over under 8.5 wins for the Cougars. What are you doing with BYU?
It was one of my first clicks in college football. I think it's over 8.5 is a pretty solid bet for me. And a lot of it is based off of culture. I think if there's one thing, Tim, that is lacking in college football today, it's loyalty and culture. I think, you know, these guys are such mercenaries now that they jump from team to team, not only the players, but the coaches too. So when I see that BYU kept all available starters, not one of them left in the portal, and they were able to bring in what I think is maybe one of the best defensive players in this class, and that's Cal's linebacker, Ulave. Mm-hmm. So you add an elite player on the defensive level, and you bring back the freshman of the year in the Big 12. You bring back the offensive player of the year in the Big 12 and LJ Martin. I just don't see any holes on this team right now. And they are as buttoned up as you want a Big 12 championship contender to be, outside of Texas Tech, obviously. I would imagine that's going to be the Big 12 championship game. Basically the exact same thing we saw last year. The only difference is I think BYU is a year older at quarterback, and that might allow Bachmeyer. I mean, if you go back and watch the film from that Texas Tech BYU Big 12 championship game, it was just Bachmeyer was up against it and he really didn't have a chance. I think you run it back this year. I think BYU is very live to win that conference championship game. And obviously outside of the game against Notre Dame, they're going to be favored in every game this year. And I expect them to win 10 games in the regular season.
All right, how about Penn State? You're a Penn State guy. I'm intrigued by this team. Matt Campbell takes a bunch of Iowa State players with him, including quarterback Rocco Beck. The schedule is hospitable, and I think Penn State could be an over team. This season could be a surprise team. What's your take on the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, that's one of the more recent bets I made, Matt. And I'm always hesitant to back my team. I always do extra research, extra due diligence. And I was waiting. I wanted to see what the vibes were from camp. Everything's been really positive. Rocco Becht is a gamer. So I expect him to be fine in the Big Ten. I don't think it's going to be an issue for him. I would say it's a slight step up in weight class with Iowa State's basically their entire starting roster. I think it's 13 or 14 starters from Iowa State. So essentially you're asking, can last year's Iowa State team win 10 games, or really it's just 9 games, in a what I would say is the easiest schedule. And I've been following Penn State schedules for a long time, Matt. This might be the easiest schedule I've ever seen.
Right.
No Ohio State, no Oregon. Their toughest game's at Michigan. The non-conference, Marshall, Temple, Buffalo. So you've got 3 wins out of the gate before you even have to strap it up and get into conference play. And then your first 2 games in conference play, Wisconsin and Northwestern. So, you know, USC and Michigan, like, those are going to be 2 tough games. But I think they're going to be 5-0 heading into that game against the Trojans. They get that game at home. It'll probably be the whiteout game. We know how teams go going west to east. It's been a challenge for those Pacific time zone teams traveling to the Eastern time zone, especially at night in what should be a raucous environment. And I really like the, you know, an underrated part of Penn State this year is Iowa State used to have that weird 3-3-5 defense. Well, they got rid of that. Now it's Danton Lynn. That's going to be the defensive coordinator at Penn State, who I have a ton of respect for. So I think you basically import an entire roster that I would say is ready-made, and you add a good defensive mind to that and an easy schedule. It's the recipe for an over, no doubt.
Jared Smith joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line at Jared Smith Betts. Let's go to the back to the Big 12. Houston, a team that played quite well last year, surprised a lot of folks, ended up getting double-digit wins thanks to their bowl victory. Over-under right now at FanDuel is 8.5, juiced under around minus $1.40. What are you doing with the Houston Cougars, Willie Fritz's squad, heading into this year?
He's a good coach. He continues, like, his strategy is, I am going to bring in guys from lower-tier programs and try to continue to reboot every season. That's kind of his strategy. And last year it worked, right? They had a great season, but they were 6-1 in one score games and they had 3 game winning kicks. So I just think that's a tough ask to repeat something like that in terms of the variance department. They weren't ranked very highly in the Pick 6 previews game grader in terms of how they did in the Big 12. They lost a lot of depth on defense, especially up front. They lost a lot of depth on the offensive line. You've got a road trip at altitude to Salt Lake City, road trip at altitude to Boulder. Those are going to be tough games. They opened the Big 12 at Texas Tech. I think 8 wins feels like the ceiling, and we're getting 8.5. So I think this was a pretty solid under for me, Tim. I'll be honest, the Big 12 can be a little bit wacky sometimes. So I wouldn't be shocked if Willie Fritz pulled another rabbit out of his hat, but it felt like coming off of the season they had, under 8.5 was the play for me.
Jared, always appreciate it, man. Always great to talk some college football. At Jared Smith Betts is where you could find him on Twitter, Fox Sports Radio, and a host of other spots as well. So make sure you follow him on social media. Jared, we'll be talking soon, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, good stuff, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
There he is, Jared Smith. A couple of win totals. I want to talk to you, Matt, a little bit more about Penn State, maybe a little Big Ten.
I like Penn State. It's good to hear Jared say that, because I'm pretty high on this Penn State team, and part of it has to do, when you talk about the optimism, the schedule.
Yeah.
Right? It breaks really well for Matt Campbell in his first season.
As Jared pointed out, some of the big boys that are absent on that Penn State schedule. So we'll dive into the Big 12 a little bit. Paul Stone, he contributed to our VSiN College Football Preview magazine, rated his top 15 quarterbacks, also a couple of best bets. So we'll talk to Paul in about 30 minutes. We'll also get you updated on what's happening across Major League Baseball, including the Cubs just taking the lead at Wrigley Field. The place is going crazy. We'll update you on how the Cubs took the lead in the second inning at Wrigley. It's VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Chicago Cubs, Matt, we're down 3-0 and now we're up 4-3. Kevin Alcantara just went yard and it is now 4-3, his first homer of the season. So the Chicago Cubs have taken the lead over the Dodgers, and somewhere the madman, Chris Massaro, maybe a little bit happier. Not fully happy. He won't be happy until this game is over, but the Cubs have taken the lead, and I am now turning into the madman because that price of plus 2.5 runs at even money, looking pretty good right now, Matt.
Didn't bet it, did you?
Did not. Did not. Well, maybe someone out there listened to us and bet
it. I didn't bet the Cardinals tonight, and they're up 6-0. So a couple regrets on bets we did not make tonight. And when we opened this show, Cam Schwitler was minus 150 when Cy Young in the American League. I gotta imagine DraftKings has adjusted that down to like what, minus 120? That's a really bad start tonight for Schwitler.
FanDuel still has a minus 130 right now. He's still the favorite. Dylan Cease at plus 110. So I guess they're not gonna overreact too much to this poor start tonight. 6 strikeouts, 5 walks, but gave up 4 runs, couple of homers. And it is going to be a Cardinals, more than likely, victory tonight. We got some sound from Joel Sherman, which we're going to play later on in the show on MLB Network, discussing the Yankees' moves or lack thereof. I know a lot of Yankees folks not thrilled. Surprisingly, our own Will Hill, not happy about the moves.
Will Hill, I believe, is in Vegas.
Is he?
He told me he was going to fly.
Is he in a weightlifting competition?
I don't know. He said he was going to fly in last night. I have not heard from him. Have not seen him over here at Circa, but he's, you know, he's got a wife and I think 7 or 8 kids. So probably who knows what they're doing today.
Who knows? Yeah. Getting into him just angrily tweeting about the lack of moves from the Yankees. All right, a couple other quick updates. The Pirates have opened it up on the Brewers. So yet another contender who made a couple of moves today, struggling. As that would be the Milwaukee Brewers. Brandon Sproat gave up 4 runs on 5 hits, struck out 4, and right now the Pirates have a 4-0 lead. Strong start for Bubba Chandler tonight as he has gone 4 scoreless right now, top of the 5th inning in Milwaukee. And the Washington Nationals, Matt, stop me if you heard this before, have blown a lead.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
The Washington Nationals were minus 1340 in the top of the 7th inning.
Really?
Yes. Jeez. Why? Well, once again, that's the beauty of betting. And I, once again, didn't do it. And the Philadelphia Phillies scored 4 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning thanks to a grand slam. Derek Hill, the 8-hole hitter for the Phillies tonight, grand slam in the bottom of the 7th inning. And the Washington Nationals have blown another lead. 4-3 right now at around, I think it was around 6:50, 7-1, somewhere in that ballpark. The Phillies were live, and now they're minus 473. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah, big turnaround in that game, but that's that Nationals bullpen, not one of the better ones in baseball.
No, it is not. All right, we have continued to talk lots of college football. You know, Matt, you and I don't hate talking about college football.
We're going to have to talk a lot more college football coming up here soon. I'm looking forward to it. Looking at Jared Smith's college football win total portfolio, pretty impressive here. He's got, what, about 10 or 11 teams he's already bet. BYU over 8.5 wins. Oklahoma State over 5.5. A lot of people like the Cowboys.
I'm not as bullish on the Cowboys. I think they'll be better. It's hard not to be, but North Texas didn't win the American last year. Just pointing that out. And I'm excited for Drew Mestabaker and what he's going to bring to Stillwater. Week 2, it'll be interesting. Oregon goes to Oklahoma State. That'll be a fun one to see what Oklahoma State has.
It's going to be more fun for Oregon, but probably be a high-scoring game, right?
Yeah.
Probably going to be a high. Jared played Louisville over 7.5 and over 8.5. Minnesota under 6.5 is interesting. Houston under 8.5. And as we talked about, Penn State over 8.5 wins. And that is apparently his biggest bet, which he made at the South Point, he said last night. Ooh. Penn State over 8.5.
All right. So have you made that bet?
I have not.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
I made my bet so far, and I've been giving them out throughout the offseason on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Wrote up a couple. Fresno State over 6.5. You and I actually talked about that one on this very show. Made it here at Circa, minus $1.20. Florida State under 6.5, minus 50. Colorado State over 3.5. Made sure I got the 12 games. more betting on Jim Mora and that they're not going to be a complete and utter debacle.
I kind of like Colorado State.
Yeah. I mean, you wrote up the Pac-12, so I'll pick your brain on that later on the show. Air Force over 6.5, Kansas State over 7.5. And my biggest bet was UConn under 6.5. And I also tied them up. And I know I don't like to do parlays all that often, but you can do some adjusted win total bets. So I have UConn under 7.5 paired with Sacramento State under 6.5 this year. But let's get back to the Big Ten.
You know who Sacramento State plays on November 28th?
I sure do. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
That's correct.
Yeah. Ending up the season. Hopefully our guy Timmy Chang and the Rainbow Warriors are very comfortably in bowl eligibility at that point in time. But yes, that will wrap up. That'll be the last regular season college football game, as it should be. That's already been announced. Midnight Eastern kickoff out there in Hawaii.
I'd have to go to that.
Matt, will you be at a week zero Hawaii football game in Palo Alto?
Yes.
I will be there, too. We got some news. We got some news regarding... That week. Yeah. We'll talk about that tomorrow. A little tease for you. But let's get back to the Big Ten. And last week, while you and I were out and about, the Big Ten media days were happening in Chicago. And Kirk Cignetti had some thoughts, Matt, on the SEC.
The Big Ten is the best league in football. And a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams. Very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
Coach Cignetti, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You know what? I love him. I mean, at this point, it's hard not to love him. We'll get to some news regarding the Indiana football program that came out today. Nothing to do with their 2026 team. But you know what? When you've won three straight titles, not Indiana, the conference, Michigan, then Ohio State, and now Indiana, you could go up there and you could talk that talk, especially if you're Cignetti for coming off of a 16-0 season when you went out to the Rose Bowl in the quarterfinals and absolutely, I mean, Carson Kelly just did to that baseball.
Called a shot.
What Alabama did what Indiana did to Alabama. Carson Kelly, two-run homer, 6-3 now. Cubs, I think plus 2.5 runs was a good bet.
Yeah, unfortunately you didn't make it. I thought P.J. Fleck said it best at Big Ten Media Days last week. He said, Kurt Cignetti called his shot, basically like Babe Ruth. He did. Cignetti predicted what was going to happen, told everybody Indiana was going to win it all. Then he went out and did it, did the unthinkable at Indiana.
It's really hard. It's not even hard to believe. I think you wrote it up in the guide, Matt. You said, if he took this script to Disney, he would be laughed at.
Nobody would believe it.
They're the worst. They were the worst. And now they are the best. I'm not saying they're winning it this year, but they are the best coming into this year.
Last year, Indiana over the win total was one of my best bets, and I would not play Indiana under the win total this year. Like I said, I don't love the quarterback in Hoover. I think Paul Stone noted he had 41 turnovers and 30 starts for the Fort Worth Frogs. Transfer from TCU. That's the only thing that caused me a little bit of concern about this Indiana team. But you have to believe in Kurt Cignetti. He's tough to bet against. But what he said there about how it's tough to win on the road in the Big Ten, when you think back to last season, there were two teams that had the Hoosiers dead to rights on the road and let them off the hook. Iowa and Penn State. Remember both of those games, right?
I had Iowa. Yeah. Thankfully, they got through the window on that one. But Penn State had no business losing that game, but Indiana had Fernando Mendoza, had some big-time wide receivers. I do want to talk a little bit more about Indiana and the Big Ten. We'll do that top of the hour. But, Matt, episode 3 of the Circus Survivor documentary will be later this week. In week 5, for the first time in Circus Survivor history, the number one pick of the week goes down in flames on a Thursday night, and the chaos that follows is unlike anything the contest has ever scene. $18.7 million on the line. Watch the next episode Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN. If you need to catch up on episodes 1 and 2, they're on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. Cubs up 6-3 in our game of the night over the Dodgers.